Thank you for tuning in to this weekend's homily here at St. Jerome Catholic Church in Mobile, Ohio. Today's homily was given by Deacon Paul Mungester, deacon here at St. Jerome, on Sunday, January 23rd, 2022, the third Sunday in Ordinary Time. Now here is Deacon Paul.
Well, you should love this gospel reading today because it ends what is probably the shortest homily ever. Just one sentence. Jesus says, "Today the scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing." My homily is going to be a little bit longer than that. Jesus reads from the prophet Isaiah from chapter 61. He's reading about the return to Jerusalem after the captivity in Babylon. The Jews are coming back to Jerusalem. Now Isaiah is giving the people hope. He's giving them joy because their enslavement is done. By bringing them liberty to the captives, as we've been singing and hearing, they're coming back to their homeland. Bringing glad tidings to the poor. They're coming back pretty much with just the clothes on their back, a few small possessions. And sight to the blind. They've been blind because they've been away from their beloved homeland of Jerusalem and Israel. So in essence, Isaiah is saying to them, salvation has come. Yet he doesn't claim that for himself. That's meant for the people. Their salvation from captivity has come. So we ask ourselves why Jesus picked to read this particular passage. Why was he picked to read it all? In last week's reading, the wedding at Cana, Jesus said to his mother, his hour had not yet come. But now it looks like it has. But why pick him to read? He's not a rabbi. He's not a priest of the temple. He's not a scribe. He's not ordained. He wasn't educated by the Pharisees like St. Paul was. But Luke says the news of him had spread throughout the whole region. The power of the Spirit was in him. He had already taught in the synagogues, and it says he was praised by all. He's out there moving around, preaching. But this is early in Jesus' ministry. He's just beginning to talk about the kingdom of God. So why this special status to read? Now, maybe after the events at Cana, people were starting to think of him as a prophet. That would have elevated Jesus to a revered status within the community. And it was customary then, and it still is today, for a revered member of the Jewish community to be invited to read from the scriptures. Passages such as this one from Isaiah, and to give a homily, his short one-sentence homily. Well, I'm sure this Jewish community, they've heard these words before, so these aren't new words to them. They're aware of this, talking about their Jewish ancestors coming back from captivity. Jesus says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor, liberty to the captives, sight to the blind. Let the oppressed go free and proclaim you're acceptable to the Lord." All words they'd heard before, but something makes this a little bit different. Isaiah said these words for the people. Again, not claiming it for himself. But Jesus says these words are about him. They point to him. Today, the scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing. And that staggers just about everybody in the synagogue. And all they could do is just sit there and just stare at him, trying to figure out what's going on. I read a story this week about a people who once lived by the ocean. The water was all they saw, and they had some trees around us, and that was it. And they had heard stories of far-off lands with mountains. But they didn't truly know what a mountain was. They'd never seen one. All they knew was the sea and the trees. Yet, listening to those stories, they thought they knew what a mountain looked like. And one day, they find a large boulder, and they could climb that boulder. And they said, "This must be what is meant when the stories say mountain." Their language, their lack of understanding led them to the wrong conclusion. They were wrong. It wasn't a mountain, just a boulder. And I think this story, when I read this, it kind of resonated that it describes the Jews' reactions to Jesus. Because for hundreds of years, the Jews were awaiting the Messiah. The Messiah, which means anointed one. They thought they knew who the Messiah would be, and they thought they knew what he would be. The Old Testament is full of references to the Messiah, the prophets, and everybody. The Messiah would be sent by God to deliver God's chosen people, the Jews, from their captors and redeem them from their sins. Prophesied things like, he'll be a descendant of the house of David. He'll be born in Bethlehem. He'll be a prophet, teacher, and be called the Son of Man. That's the title Jesus used to describe himself. He will be a healer, work miracles, and he will eventually suffer. So all those things and more point to Jesus. Yet, when Jesus says that is who he is, they don't recognize him. They don't recognize him. To them, the Messiah should be some great leader, probably even a warrior king, but he certainly wouldn't be this poor itinerant prophet wandering around the countryside just talking with the ordinary folks. After all, he was just a carpenter's son. They knew Jesus. They watched him grow up. He was back in Nazareth, his hometown. He was back in the hood, as we would say. These were his friends, his brothers, people he'd grown up with. They knew there was nothing unusual about him. They were worried that he shouldn't be sleeping under the stars, traveling with some smelly fishermen, and eating with those tax collectors and sinners. No, if he was the Messiah, he should be overthrowing their foreign rulers, the Romans, their current captors, if you will. He should be leading an army against these oppressors. But all they could see was the ocean and the trees. They didn't know that the mountain had come to them. They didn't know what it was. They didn't recognize it. So they just sat, they stared, trying to grasp the idea of their native son claiming to be the Messiah. And they didn't react well. More about that next week. Right now, they're just stunned. They just sit there. The question is, what should they have done? And more importantly, what should we do when we hear the words of the scripture? First reading from Nehemiah gives us clues. And this passage was written about the same time, maybe a little bit after the Isaiah passage, but it's after the Jews had come back to Jerusalem, and the priest Ezra has assembled the people. And he's reading from the scriptures, the law, the scripture passages, Torah, and other prophets. That had been denied to them while they were captives in Babylon. They didn't hear those words. That's probably why they were crying, as he said. They were sad. They were weeping because they had forgotten those words, and now they were hearing them again. When they heard them, what did they do? They bowed down. They prostrated themselves before the Lord. Heard the words and understood the word of God, they humbled themselves. As we said in our opening song, we assembled today to pray, to worship, to hear the word of God, and to bow down in humility to worship the Lord. And paraphrasing Nehemiah, he says then, after you've done that, after you've bowed down and humbled yourself, rise up, do not be sad. Rejoice in the Lord. Go, eat rich foods and sweet drinks. We'll do that in our Eucharist. Today is holy to the Lord. So when we hear the words of the scripture, let us rejoice and be glad.
Thank you for tuning into this weekend's homily here at St. Jerome Catholic Church in Walbridge, Ohio. Be sure to tune in each week as Father unpacks the scriptures and shares real-life stories that help bring scripture to our lives. Please join us for Mass Tuesday through Friday at 8 a.m., Saturdays at 4:30 p.m., and Sundays at 8 a.m. and 10 a.m. God bless.